This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today we celebrate All Saints' Day, also traditionally known as All Hallows. And this year, as is so often the case, we were celebrating it before All Hallows Eve or Halloween. In our modern culture, it is kind of the forgotten holiday. We do celebrate Halloween to some extent, and in doing so, we touch back to primordial experience of human beings throughout the ages. Dios de los Muertos, Day of the Dead, is at this time of year as well, a few days after All Souls Day, which we will celebrate here as well. But what of All Saints? Well, history is, as many things, sort of a suggestion put in a theological suggestion box, so to speak. A person suggested having Feast of All for all the saints who were not celebrated individually, and this became accepted practice. And it is a time to look not to a specific image or individual saint, but to look to the concept, the notion, the entire symbolism of saints. The word saint just comes from sanctus, simply means holy. Holy, what does that mean? Linguistical origins are that the origins of holy is other, or otherness, differentness. There is something very different in our experience. And that differentness is called holy. It isn't like everything else. It isn't like everything else in the world that we know. It's different. It's other. Throughout human experience, there have been places, people, things that have had this quality of otherness. Some of them exist across cultures, across time. The space, place that is considered holy may be considered holy for millennia, may have begun before recorded history, and still be a holy place today. It is that otherness quality that makes it holy, not the beliefs of those who go there, not the story that they tell about it. The stories change, but the place remains somehow connected to that otherness, somehow holy. Look at saints, there is no simple answer. We like simple answers. It'd be nice if anything real had a simple answer, but they don't. Reality is a fairly messy thing. It doesn't feel like it really has to conform to our expectations and to our ideas. It's so annoying. But there we have it. There are many different threads in looking at saints. One is as particular experiences. We know that in the history of Christianity, a number of deities, previous pre-Christian deities, were made into saints. And we can look at this in exactly the same way as holy places becoming holy places for the next religion as well. Some may think of this as being sort of capitulating, and perhaps there was some of that, but there wouldn't be this emphasis. There weren't something there. It doesn't have to be our idea of what is there, but some experience, some root, some base, some seed for this. We can also see in early Christianity figures of literature, of myth, that were of pre-Christian origin, becoming saints as well, that their stories, what they symbolized, they represented, was so powerful that it lived on, and that individuals recognized that otherness in their stories and used them. And this works across cultures. The story of Saint Francis ended up being the story of a Buddhist saint. These things have their power. They have their core of experience. And so they live across different frameworks, different ways of understanding things. They are never one thing, the one thing we decide they are. Have a meeting, decide it's that, go on. Well, there are lots of weird things with what's sometimes called the cult of the saints. In the Middle Ages particularly, there was a lot of relic obsession, and a lot of relic hunting. There are stories of, one comes to mind, is of St. Francis' body having to be guarded so that it wasn't stolen or wasn't torn apart to make relics. And there are so many other stories of the bodies of saints either being taken by force or being sold. There are some feast days, I think, that are referred to as transmission days, where the bodies, the remains of saints, are moved from place to place, and this is celebrated because this is when they were finally ensconced in their particular resting place. Great miraculous stories and things were attributed to relics, that this otherness of the human life transformed the substance of their human body and the material around them, and made it somehow connected to that otherness, and gave it power. So people would go seek healing by touching a cloth that was touched by a saint, or a bone fragment, or a fragment of something believed to be the true cross. Now we can look at this and perhaps smile a bit, think, oh, those quaint medieval folk, but we're very quaint in our own ways as well. And none of this gives us grounds to dismiss saints. It gives us an understanding and an insight into a different age of history, to how they connected to the holy, how they connected through others to the central story, the story of Christ. And this leads us closer to a Gnostic understanding of saints. For if we understand a saint as being someone who has found that otherness, that holiness, to such a greater degree than we have, that by looking at them, considering them, emulating them in some way, following them, we might come closer to that holiness, that otherness. And this works. It's why there are saints. And why they don't necessarily, and haven't always been, historical figures or real people. Following and emulating a figure in a story, we can come closer to the holy. Because that is all we have, for the most part, are stories. Unless one was in a particular range of areas, usually in ancient and medieval times, people didn't travel hugely. People like Paul traveled quite a bit, but didn't get around a whole lot for the most part. Well, then you wouldn't have actually experienced the saint yourself, this person of holiness, this otherness person. And so what you had as a guide was the story. As long as the story led you true, and there was something to it, the holiness, the otherness, came through the story to you, and you could go through the story to it. Our modern minds often reject all notions of saints because we're used to thinking things literally, recycling arguments from Western religion and Reformation, all these theological notions. Can one pray to a saint? Can one invoke a saint? Are the saints sitting up there in a choir? Are they playing harps? And sorts of other absurd silliness. Gnostics, we don't know a whole lot. What we do know is usually expressed in story and in symbol. It is never itself gnosis. It is a part of our modern arrogance, and a part of human arrogance in general across different times and spaces, to think that we are the arbiters of reality, that we can decide what is and isn't real based on our ideas, what makes sense to us. The saints are an experience. They are experienced, they are followed, they are used, but they are nothing. If we invoke a saint, we are invoking more than an idea. We are bringing forth a deeper and richer thing. We are connecting through the life story of someone else to the holy, to the divine. We are reaching through one image, as we must always reach through images, to the divine, to the truth. The Gospel of Philip says, truth did not come into the world naked. It came in types, forms, and images. When we look to the divine, we always experience in some way, some form. If we don't experience it in the form, we express it in a form. We remember it in a form. We consider it in a form. And that is what these things are. They are facets of the gleaming jewel of the divine, of the holy, of the otherness. The otherness that is more a home to our true selves than any place else. So we are attracted to it, called to it. We go to it. It is who we are. Those who've come before us, who've given us so much, helped us to see the way, shown us by their example, provide us the means. We might learn some things from words. We might gain some insight from an explanation. There's so much more. To be with someone, to been with Christ, beyond description. Strange modern notion that to have a book with some different stories about Christ somehow equivalent to have been there, or somehow equivalent to have been there with someone who had been there, or even a disciple of a disciple of a disciple. There is so much to be gained. We cannot go back there. What we can do is see in the lives those who touch the holy, who live lives of consciousness, of conscientiousness, who act out of the true, deep soul and spirit, and bring that forth into the world. As the Gospel of Thomas says, there is light in the person of light. It shines, it enlightens the world. If it does not shine, the world is in darkness. These are the saints. The lights shining in the world. And we can do more than follow them. We can seek to follow them in a way that emulates them, in a way that allows our own light to shine, allows us to become, in some way, beacons of the light, exemplars of the truth, teachers of Gnosis by our life. St. Francis is attributed to having said, if you go somewhere to preach, there's no point unless you're going there. Itself is a sermon. And also as having said, preach always, if necessary, use words. Very Gnostic sentiment. By the way in which we approach things, understand things, and change those around us. Give them insight, a way for them to approach and understand things. And spread Gnosis. For it is not about ideas. It is about reality. Collect for today, praise of the saints as revealers of reality. And that they are. As Gnostics, we seek the real. We seek the real through all the different ways in which we can find it, through all the revealers of reality, all the lights shining in the world. For all of the lights reflect or have a common source. That source is the great, unknowable divine, God the unknown Father, the God beyond God, that which is beyond thought and speech. So to get there, to understand it, we follow what we have, the forms, the means, the stories, the symbols, the rituals, and all of it. But it all leads to one place, to one source, to the fullness of Gnosis. We are transformed by that. As the gospel for today says, we become different through these words. They are not mere words. They are there to transform us, change us into liberated beings. They do not come to remove the change from us, but to change us so that we realize there are no chains. The saints have shown us the way. So many of them had been freed from the chains and shackles of the world. They lead lives of liberation. May we seek to follow their example, not be afraid to call upon their aid, and find our own way through the light, to the light. Through the other, the holy, to what is not other, to what is truly ourselves in the deepest sense. May the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth, sin upon us, remain with us all. For information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.org. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.